You're listening to a sermon by Grace Newdorf, recorded on Sunday, February 1st, 2026, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
We may be under an illusion that to proclaim the good news of Christ, we need to be spectacular, that we need to be at center stage. Perhaps we look at our neighbor who is more gifted than we are. Perhaps our gifts are veiled behind a muted voice that needs to be heard. Or illness has silenced the inarticulate voice of the pain and symptoms of our ill body. How can I serve when I don't have the right tools for the job? I don't have what it takes. Maybe the candlelight of our heart needs to be ignited to notice epiphany moments and experiencing the hiddenness of God's presence in fresh light. My hope and intention this morning is to look at the story of Jesus' healing of Peter's mother-in-law from her perspective, and for you, the listener, to be invited into her story. I have used the feminine voice in my resources and in various ways throughout this message. My prayer in offering this message is that you will be open to receive an invitation, a gift. The account of the short story of the healing of Peter's nameless wife's mother caught my eye when I read it in one of my favorite books by Jan Richardson, In the Sanctuary of Women, a companion for reflection and prayer. In a chapter entitled The Mysteries of Making, Richardson describes an artist, a quilter, Harriet Powers, who created pictorial quilts now displayed in the Smithsonian Museum. And maybe Christine, can you put the patchwork quilt up? Depictions of the baptism of Christ, the crucifixion, Judas Iscariot, and the 30 pieces of silver, the Last Supper, and the Holy Family are some of the squares on this quilt pictured on this worship sheet and in front of you. Growing up in southern U.S. in the 1800s, in a time of slavery, Powers used the creative gifts that she had in proclaiming the good news of Christ. Powers said it was a sermon in patchwork, and that she desired to preach the gospel in patchwork, to show my Lord my humility. The quilts were a proclamation of her faith, her way of preaching, of telling the good news of the word that had taken flesh in her own life. Richardson ties Power's story to the account of the healing of the mother of the wife of Peter. They both use what they had to proclaim the good news of Christ. You can take down the quilt. The story varies slightly among the Synoptic Gospels. In the Mark account, 1:29-31, Jesus responds to the disciples who tell Jesus about her. He takes her by the hand and lifts her up. In Matthew 8:14-15, Jesus sees her, touches her, and she gets up on her own. And in Luke 4:38-39, the disciples ask Jesus about her. He rebukes the fever without touching her, and she gets up on her own. Each account provides a different perspective on Jesus seeing her, touching her, and healing her. Prior to this short story, the leper and the centurion ask Jesus to heal. In contrast, without her asking, Jesus reaches toward the woman, touches her, crossing with great intention into her condition, her realm, her world. In this sacred domestic space, no less than in the holy space of the synagogue, Jesus extends his healing. We can only speculate her role and the story of her illness. Will de Gaffney indicates that, quote, few may have considered the discipleship of the elder woman to her daughter and family beyond this scene. Were they among the plural, undifferentiated disciples? Were they among the many women who had followed Jesus and watched from a distance after Jesus' death on the cross, as noted in Matthew 27:55? Arthur Frank, in his book, The Wounded Storyteller, indicates that illness is a call for stories. From the disorientation of illness in losing a sense of where a person is in life, to redrawing maps and finding new destinations. I created a story. So may her story open a window in her life. My name is Mara, the name that Naomi gives herself after returning to Bethlehem from Moab. Naomi says, call me Mara, because Shaddai has dealt bitterly with me. Ruth 1:20. Like Naomi, I too have felt the bitterness and loneliness after the father of my daughter disappeared, leaving me to raise her. In the middle of my sorrow and lostness, my daughter Hannah has given me much joy. I am dependent on others, yet even through my desolation, the merciful God is gracious to Hannah and me, and there was always food on the table and a roof over our heads. Life isn't easy, and I live up to my name as the sadness, bitterness, and fear encompass my whole being. Like the psalmist, I felt the oppression of others in our community who do not see me, hear me, or hold me. And I have no space safe to express my lament to God. The hiddenness and silence of my suffering made me mute. The harsh reality of my affliction eclipses my perspective and meaning that held my life together. My tears are my only food, day and night, and I know that God keeps my tears in a bottle. In my fear, anxiety, and sadness, I continually cry out to God of my life, in God whose word I praise, in the Holy One whose love I praise. When I am afraid, I put my trust in the living God. Hannah grew up and married Peter, who is a follower of Jesus. Jesus called the disciples from their life of certainty, including Peter, and invites them to follow him. When Peter is home, he shares about Jesus, the huge crowds that seek Jesus, trying to touch him or follow him. I heard that Jesus healed a leper. Peter also shared that Jesus steps away from the disciples and the crowds to be alone and pray. From the stories Peter shares, unlike the teachers of the law, Jesus seems more interested in human well-being than ritual, law, or custom. I am feeling the energy draining from me under the weight of loss, oppression, and fear. My body cries out for healing. Answer me, O beloved, for I know of your compassion. In your abundant mercy, turn toward me. Set me free from my erring ways. I will go to my room where I can be alone and rest. I wonder if I can make an appointment with Jesus. Tish Harrison Warren, in her book, Prayer in the Night, for those who work or watch or weep, in her chapter, Tend the Sick, describes the humiliation and debilitation of illness. Mara's life, illness is life-limiting, and we can surmise that it is debilitating, disabling her role as a helper in the household community. She is no longer an achiever. All she is left with is who she is, without adornment, polish, or productivity. Humiliating. This kind of humiliation humanizes her. The blessed humiliation of sickness is not only physical, but also spiritual. The suffering has made her mute. Facing her frailty and limitations teaches her how to be human. In her humanity, vulnerability, and humility, she cries out to God. That is precisely where God meets her, when she has nothing to offer. She is drawn away from connection in her community and towards isolation and convalescing in her room. The ending of the stories of Jesus' healings vary. Some end with the recipient offering an oral testimony to what Jesus has done, or instructions to the paralytic to take up your mat and go home, or words of affirmation to the woman who touched Jesus' cloak as she was hemorrhaging. Courage, my daughter, your faith has saved you. This story does not ascribe any words. Instead, the proclamation of her healing is in silence. Ministering to Jesus and his companions. The woman's ministering in Greek, diakonia, continues the pattern of the diakonia of the angels who minister to Jesus in the wilderness and evokes the ministry of deacons. Ministering is a more overtly sacramental act and is translated in some versions as waited on, serve, or made dinner for him. That was Eugene Peterson, which undervalues the service she provides. That her creative act falls squarely in the realm of what society sometimes wrongfully belittles as women's work does not minimize its grace. Rather, it unveils the holiness present in ministering, and sometimes hidden in the dailiness of domestic life. Like the angel who ministered to Jesus in the wilderness, she is an angel with shoes on, and proclaims the good news she has found in eloquent testimony she has at hand. It is a sermon in supper. She is lavish with the language that she knows, using her gifts to proclaim and give praise for what Christ has done. As the matriarch, her sacramental ministry may be offering a blessing from the prophet Isaiah to Jesus. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, the delight of my soul. I have set my spirit upon my servant, who will bring forth justice to the nations. Her response continues in service, in becoming the threshold for healing for all in the city who are sick. I invite you into a minute of silence. Then I will offer her prayer. My name is no longer Mara. It is Esther, which means star, who rises to a royal position for such a time as this. O Lord, hear my prayer. Give thanks to the God who redeems for her goodness and everlasting love. Let all the women whom God has set free praise her. Let all the women whom she has rescued from oppression give thanks. The compassionate healer heard the silent cry of my heart and answered my prayer. The desolation of my isolation, loneliness, and fear are transformed to connection, service, and faith. The faithful one turned towards me. With a touch of his hand, he lifted me up. Redeem me and set me free from my illness. My grateful heart is filled with the sweet fragrance of incense as I minister to Jesus and his disciples. My home is now a sacred space for the brokenhearted, oppressed, and downcast who find solace within my doors. My body, soul, and spirit are rekindled as I journey through the day, carrying my lantern of Christ light. This catching fire, this epiphany experience I carry from dawn to dusk, noticing the divine. Are you awake to their presence? In the response time, I invite you to consider, what is the invitation? Where do you see God's restoration taking place? How has your story impacted the lives of others?